Howdy do, buggaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. Today is Tuesday. It is the 10th of November. This is 2020. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have John Case of the Vapors Martellaro. Hi, John.
M1 Martellaro. That's the term.
Okay. I will update your nickname in my phone accordingly. Also with me today, I have Charlotte, possible trade-in Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
I'm not indulging this.
Well, you totally have to. You have to. You must.
I'm not indulging it.
Your Mac Mini is just so old and
it's
slow.
So last year.
So hot.
So,
are you tired of cooking eggs on the top of it?
No, it's really very useful to
Charlotte
both
enjoys
write
it for,
and cook at the same time.
For keeping tea warm at the same time that she's trying
exactly.
to get working.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
We're, as people may know, we're here to talk about Apple's event, which was called One More Thing. And in the long tradition of we're going to introduce an entirely new computer as One More Thing at an Apple event, they just kicked off this event with that. And what they did first was give us the breakdown of the new Apple Silicon, even more in-depth than we got in June. So, John, I'd like to talk to you a little bit because you're always my go-to when it comes to learning more about processors. So if you would, sir, please take us to processor school today.
Well, that was a big data dump, and I'll do the best I can with the cryptic notes that I took during the
Sorry, I'm just recovering from John describing a presentation as a data dump. But anyway, continue.
Yes.
Are you surprised, John M1 Spock Martellaro?
So I'm just looking forward to saying, hey, lady, text M1. Are you ready for the show today? Because that's going to be amazing. Okay.
Well, my first reaction is that it seems to me in perspective now that Intel was holding Apple back. There's so many things Apple wanted to do. As the engineer on stage pointed out, you had a choice between integrated graphics, which were dismal, or discrete graphics, which was power intensive and added complexity. And so the M1 out of the gate has an integrated CPU, GPU, secure enclave, IO chip, T2, and it's all wrapped up into one CPU type package where everything's close, nearby electrically, and integrated. And that allows a great deal of design freedom for integrating the operating system into it. So you don't have to have chips scattered all over the motherboard. The M1 has an 8-core CPU. It's high performance. 4 cores are high performance. 4 cores are high efficiency. It's a 5-nanometer process, which is terrific.
Yeah.
Intel had trouble getting down to 10 on their Ice Lake.
Right, we talked about that on an earlier episode of Chip Chat.
Yeah.
Where Intel was having fundamental issues with, I believe it was reliably manufacturing these chips at scale, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah, I mean, as the process gets smaller and smaller, you have to be more and more careful about errors in the die.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a higher loss factor. Chips that don't get manufactured correctly, and so they're more expensive. Apple's pretty good at building these A-series chips, and that technology has transformed over. I think it was even Andrew Orr who might have suggested that the new name would have an M in it for Mac.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was spot on there. 16 billion transistors, which is incredible, and 11 teraflops. Teraops, not teraflops, teraops for you high-performance computing supercomputer guys. I don't know how many teraflops that translates into in the 4-core high-performance engine. We'll have to figure that out later. But
what's the difference between a teraflop and a teraop?
Flop is floating point operations. It's very intensive in 64-bit floating point operations. Operations could be as simple as moving something from one register to another, or some simple CPU operation. So it's easy to quote lots of operations, but high performance and mathematical guys and and supercomputing guys think in terms of floating point operations per second. I'm guessing it's more like,
you know, women could do those things as well, not just guys.
Yes. Did I say? Well, sorry. I'm just being casual here.
That's okay.
So what stood out to me is the level of integration and the process size and probably the cost. Apple didn't go into that because they don't need to, but it's probably a whole lot less expensive than the equivalent performance Intel chip. Plus, because it's so power efficient, there's no need for a fan in the MacBook Air. Mm-hmm. And it's just like an iPad, no fan.
And this is one of the interesting things about these machines is there's no fans in them.
Just like an iPad is such an interesting phrase because it's exactly what I thought as I was watching it all being rolled out.
Mm-hmm. You'll be able to run your iPad apps and your iPhone apps.
Right. And it made me think, and there'll be an answer for this, and maybe it will take us a couple of days to unpack. Why would you, what are you making your decisions on an iPad Pro or a MacBook Air? There's some muddy water there, isn't there?
Or am I missing? Oh, well, with a MacBook Pro, you get 4 USB-C ports. With a MacBook Air, you only get 2.
I'm talking about the Air.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Air still only has 2. Why Apple differentiates in that fashion, I do not know. I wish they wouldn't do that. Every MacBook of any variety, whether it's an Air or a Pro, deserves 4 USB-C ports. But that's the way Apple rolls.
Well, okay, yeah. So hold on a minute. John, this is a nit that you're picking.
Yeah.
Is the number of ports on the machine, and that 2 is unacceptable.
Right.
I'm not for or against this. I'm not judging it. I'm just saying that is your stance. And you want it to be better. And Charlotte, you also have a nit that we should discuss.
Yeah. How many more times am I going to have to watch Apple roll out a seriously, seriously impressive computer that has a 720p camera in it? Mm-hmm. Why is this still happening in 2020? I understand that you probably don't need a 4K camera for a camera that is facing you. Right. For a camera that you basically might use for Zoom calls and Skyping or whatever. That I get. There really is no need, reason it can't be 1080p anymore. Come on.
The way it was explained to me was from a developer was that you, in order to get a 1080p, you have to have a larger sensor. And for a larger sensor, you need more image scale. And for more image scale, you need a longer focal length. And for a longer focal length, you need a thicker lid. And Apple locked themselves into a thin lid a long time ago. And that dictates the 720p sensor size and focal length of the camera and thickness.
Are we?
Yeah, I just don't get it. I feel with the technological advances Apple has made on the cameras in other devices, I mean, we've all commented on the staggering quality of the iPhone 12 range of phones, their cameras. Even the iPad cameras are getting better. I don't get it. It seems like I'm obviously missing something, but it seems to me like it should be an easy win.
It should. It does. Like you said, Charlotte, it doesn't need to be 4K. I'm with you 100% on this. It need not be 4K, but 1080p shouldn't be unreasonable.
I don't get it.
If you can give me 18 hours of battery life, why can't you give me a 1080p camera?
Yeah. I started the day.
Yes.
A bit cynical. When we all started talking before the event, I was like, shmeh, yeah. New Macs are cool. It's going to be exciting. I'm excited to see what Apple Silicon is all about and what it can do. But mm-hmm. We probably know what's going to be announced. I'm not in the market for a new Mac. I was more
like, well, you weren't.
No, I'm not buying a new Mac. Behave, you two. But I... You know, early in the year, I was really excited about a lower cost Apple Watch. That was a device I'd wanted for a while, and I was really excited when Apple produced one.
Yeah.
I was obviously really excited about the new iPhones because I was knew I'd probably be in the market for one of those, and I was really excited about that. Mm-hmm. And knew that it would be a pretty substantial update this year. I was like, oh, it's a, maybe it's because we've had three Apple events in 2 months. I was like, well, this is cool, and some people are going to get some nice new pieces of equipment. This event is not really for me,
right?
My cynicism lifted as the event went on. One, because the products they produced are seriously impressive for some of the reasons that John has explained and some others. I think what they will allow people to do is serious. The way I approach technology has always been, what is it going to do? John is amazing at explaining the innards and the significance of what is going on inside. And that's hugely important that people understand that. But for me, I always look at a device, I'm like, but what can I do with it, and how quickly can I do it?
Yeah.
And at what point is it gonna, my machine gonna explode and be too hot?
Precisely.
Right. So that, and
you mean like lossless 8K editing, you mean?
Or anything. Sure. Let's turn the Mac observers. Let's turn the Mac Observers YouTube channel 8K. I'm gonna need a lot more makeup. But
yeah. Be right back ordering spackle. Yeah.
Right. But it's what was on display was devices that I think people will want and will benefit from the upgrades we saw. And this is, look, everyone knows that I am the one person Mac Mini fan club.
That's not true. They are beloved by many, many people. But you may be the only person at TMO who's got one right now in active service. Right. Mine are sort of in auxiliary service. I have two that have been pressed into other sorts of tasks.
Right. And I really love it. And I was surprised, but maybe I shouldn't be, that they unveiled a really souped up Mac Mini with an M1 chip.
Mm-hmm. Really
impressive.
And it's for you, Charlotte. You can tell because they talked about how much cooler it runs now.
Right. This is right. I'm glad we've come to this. This made me laugh. They talked about advanced thermal heating. Right. My one is the 2018 Mac Mini.
Yeah.
As I've said before in this show, come over, I'll cook you breakfast on it. I mean, seriously, this thing gets hot. And so I will wait to see at some point, maybe in my life, how this actually works. And how much cooler they've made it. As John mentioned, they've taken the fan out of the MacBook Air, which is quite a bold move. And I will be interested. They haven't taken the fan out of the Mini, is that? So they called it advanced thermal dynamics or something, didn't they?
Yeah.
Is that the phrase they used?
Something like that, yeah.
And so they've obviously realized it's really damn hot and hope to find a way to alter that. So I'll be really interested to see how that plays out in the wild, because it now has the capacity to do some pro level tasks.
Mm-hmm.
Now I do some video editing on mine and some, you know, very basic photo editing, and it works great, but this is another level now. You could basically run a Logic Studio on it in a serious way. It's a very impressive, powerful device now, the Mac Mini, with the M1 chip in it. And so I'll be interested to see how the heat goes. Yeah.
And I'm curious about it because it really feels, even though we got one in 2018, which is the model you have, Charlotte, I'm interested to see what it feels like out in the real world when somebody who has been doing other sorts of tasks on other sorts of machines, somebody like John, who's on a previous iteration Mini, somebody who's got one of the iMac Pros, and they move to this M1 Mini, and what does it actually feel like to do all the same stuff that you were doing before, but on Apple's hardware all the way to the ground? That's the thing I want to know about is, you know, yeah, let me fire up Logic, let me fire up Final Cut, you know, both of them at the same time, YOLO, you know, I don't know. But if we did, like, if you were to do this, what kind of performance do you get out of the Apple hardware, top to bottom, that you were missing out on in the Intel stuff? Because everything we saw, I think the smallest number we saw was like 2x. It's twice as fast, right? To do the thing that it was doing before. And that was like the smallest number. It wasn't like all, and they weren't using anything fuzzy. Like, it's generally more responsive. It's all around perkier. It was 2x, 4x, 10x faster than the thing you're doing now.
Should I quickly just run through the specs of the new minis before we go on to the new pros?
Yes.
So
talk about your new computer, and then we'll talk about mine.
Right. There are 256 gigabyte or 512 gigabyte storage options. Mm-hmm. Both come with 8-core CPU and 8-core GPU. They, as we've mentioned, they have the M1 chip and a 16-core neural engine. They both have 8 gigabytes of unified memory and gigabit Ethernet. Basically, the only difference is 256 or 512 SSD storage. Mm-hmm. They start... Let's just pause and deal with this.
Yes.
The 256 version starts at $699. It's got $100 cheaper.
Yes.
And the 512 gigabyte version is
$899.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you're looking...
That's genuinely good value for...
Let me insert a number here real quick. For all you graphics nutcases out there who are wondering...
For all those graphics nutcases, John looks forward to your letters.
8-core GPU. There was a... We tend to think of discrete graphics cards as having lots of cores.
Uh-huh.
This 8-core sounds low until you realize that it can do 24,000 threads per core.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
All right.
So keep that in mind. So don't focus on the 8-core number of the GPU. You got to focus on the number of threads it can do. So I don't know what 8 times 24,000 is. It's 128,000.
It's so many. It's all the threads, right? We can just call it that. Since we're talking about pricing, the 13-inch MacBook Air, which is apparently two ports short of being a real computer, according to Mr. M1 Martellaro, on those prices are $999 for 256 and a 7-core GPU, and you get an 8-core GPU in the 512 model, and that's $1,249. So for the same money as yesterday... you can get what looks like a lot more performance based on what we're seeing. And as of this moment, the MacBook Air will deliver to you next Tuesday or Wednesday for free, as I sit here and stare at the MacBook Air page. As I said, Charlotte, now we'll talk about... We talked about the mini prices and the Air prices, and now we'll talk about Kelly's new computer, which is the new 13-inch MacBook Pro, which... has the touch bar, and we also got Touch ID, and I don't remember on the MacBook Air if it had Touch ID prior to now, just the little kind of keypad in the corner. Even if it
doesn't have a touch bar, but the MacBook Pro does, that's why it has Touch ID.
No, but we saw Touch ID on the Air, even though it didn't have the touch bar, and I don't remember if we'd seen that before or not, but it's very nifty.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
We're going to talk about my new computer, which also is the M1. I think I'm going to go this route after doing a bunch of research on them, talking to people who have the developer kit and have talked about like running hardware or running software on this particular hardware and how it hasn't really been troublesome. You get the 8-core CPU and 8-core GPU in both of these. And the 256 storage option is $1,299, and the 512 storage is $1,499. Both of those come with 8 gig of RAM, and you get the correct keyboard.
Don't buy a computer with 8 gig of RAM.
I'm just saying, this is the stock configuration. It's $200 more to get.
I didn't get my word in edgewise.
I was going to get there, John. We've ever met.
Okay.
So mine is going to be $1,699 instead of $1,499 because I'm getting a little bit bigger hard drive and an 8 additional gigabytes of unified memory, whatever that means. With the Thunderbolt ports and all of it. So if you want one of those, you can get those. What's interesting is they still have the Intel machines slightly down the page. So the brand new ones, will ship November 17th or 18th if you get them delivered to you. And if you scroll down and want one of the Intel machines, you can get that between December 3rd and December 10th. If you decide to go Intel and pay either $1,800 or $2,000 starting for one of those new machines. So if you need one, there are still Intel machines available.
We talked about what the trigger factor was. Uh-huh. You know, if the Intel chip is comparable to the Apple Silicon chip, the M1, uh-huh. then it's a no-brainer to, you know, pick the one that's most compatible for you, the one you think you'll have the least trouble with. But now we're looking at the specifications, the battery life, and the performance. Twice the performance, maybe almost three times the performance.
Yeah.
18 to 20 hour battery life. That's the killer decision point. And I think I've changed my mind now, and I would now recommend the M1 Apple Max because you get so much more for your money.
So you would recommend going M1 with these?
Yeah.
Okay.
These are killer chips.
Yeah. And I mean, like with this kind of performance, you know, even if the transition is a little bit rough, depending, I really feel like I need to send an email to Rogue Amoeba and be like, I want an Apple Silicon machine. Are we good? Because so much of my life on this computer is powered by Rogue Amoeba software. Hi, Paul. I feel like if I send them an email and they're like, it's all good, then like I will pull the trigger later today with my shiny new Apple card and it'll be fantastic. And I'll get a new computer for my birthday next week. And that'll be amazing.
The response to me, I'd like to hear
it. It may be on their website and I just haven't looked yet because it really didn't become an option for me to pull the Silicon trigger until, you know, very recently. So if you have more questions for us, we will be doing follow-up discussion tomorrow talking about some of the other things that we got out of the event. So if you have questions for us, you can get us at observations@macobserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, or by leaving comments in the show notes. I want to thank both of you for being here today. Charlotte, Trade In Henry, thanks for coming by.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm still ignoring you. And can I just say, I've spent the whole afternoon laughing that Apple has named its brand new shiny chip after a motorway that leaves London.
And it is a very unpopular motorway, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. It's just, in that just made me laugh a lot. Anyway, thank you for having me.
Well, speaking of that roadway, I would also like to thank John M1 Martellaro for joining me today.
Nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
I love having the two of you on. It's so fun to talk about everything. And John, as always, thank you for Chip Chat. I'm your host, Kelly Gamon. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.